Lord, as we listen to your holy word, open our hearts to the power of your spirit. Call us out of darkness and lead us into your marvelous light. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The reading this morning is from Psalm 31, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 31, 1 through 8. Listen now for God's word to us. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. You hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I was looking at the graduating seniors, just thinking about all the changes that they have seen, that they've been through, both those that they shared and then those of the world around them. Now, don't get me wrong, I knew my share of changes when I went through high school. After all, I saw the Rubik's Cube rise to become a national thing. I also saw Dungeons and Dragons, which had been a national thing, and I loved in middle school, start to recede from popularity. This was much to my chagrin. I saw other changes, too. I witnessed a crisis emerge with the spread of a virus, one referred to as HIV, that could lead to AIDS. I saw social movements sweep the nation, like the Sanctuary Movement, highlighting the plight of undocumented immigrants. It was not that my high school years were uneventful, but when I compare those to what the eight seniors that we just have been celebrating have gone through, I admit the changes I saw pale in comparison. After all, they saw Dungeons and Dragons rise to ascendancy again. That was thanks in large part to that TV show Stranger Things, I tend to think. But on a more serious note, they saw their world hit with a global pandemic that radically changed theirs and everybody's life and left millions of lives around the world lost in its wake. These graduates saw other changes too, like a national movement emerge for racial justice following the George Floyd killing. I knew years of drought in my high school years, but these seniors lived through 2021, the driest year in a century, and one of the signs of increasing weather extremes associated with climate change. And amid all that external change, these graduating seniors went through various forms of personal change these past years that they shared about, learning to listen to others, learning to get help from others. Chloe, Lord have mercy, I'm still learning that lesson. Learning how to listen, how to adapt, learning who they are, what their calling is, what their interests are, who God has made them to be. And when all that change is taking place, internal change, external change, it forces a question on us, on them, on everyone. What endures? What endures? If I'm changing, what is the I that remains consistent through that change? As the world changes, what makes it still the world? What is the constant, the I, the we, the this, and what holds all that? What's the foundation amidst the flux? What can we truly cling to for identity, for security, when so many things are changing and so many things threaten? Viruses, foreign powers with nuclear weapons, the threat of natural disaster. What's the ground that we truly can stand on in this changing world and in our changing selves? From Scripture, we know the ancient Hebrew people knew times of profound change and manifold threats, and they too wondered, what endures? What can we cling to, hold on to? They yearned for some form of security they could trust in. They yearned for rescue from the forces that threatened them, threatened their identity, threatened their safety. For a time, they were told they were slaves in Egypt, and they cried out to God with words much like the words we heard Eliza read from Psalm 31 today. Incline your ear to me, O Lord. Rescue me speedily. And then they were liberated. And then they knew more times of great change as they wandered through the wilderness and learned to rely on God, to hear and follow God's word, to follow God in a pillar of cloud and fire through the desert. Then, when they found a place to call home, the challenges continued and the changes kept coming. They saw political change, the rise of monarchy, and then its decline. They were conquered and occupied by foreign powers. They knew years of exile, and then they knew what it was like, had to learn what it was like to rebuild what had been torn down. They saw movements for social and religious change with cries for justice, cries to turn to God, brought by galvanizing figures like Isaiah and Jeremiah. And through all that change, they were given, like treasure from heaven, something or rather someone to ground them in changing times. The very power that created the sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, the creative power that shaped the universe, revealed God's very self to this people. The Lord said to them, I am your God, and you are my people. In me, you have identity as my beloved children. You have a protector, a refuge, a stronghold in me in a world of change. I am for you a rock. A rock. I love that metaphor for God. God as a rock. There are two different Hebrew words for rock, and both of them show up in the scripture passage read this morning, Psalm 31. The two are Selah and Tsur, and both words can refer not simply to a stone, but to a larger sheet of rock, to a cliff, a crag, something on which you could stand. Selah or Tsur could in fact speak of a rock large enough you could build an entire city on it, like the city of Zion, Jerusalem. It could be a rock big enough that its apertures could provide protection from the elements and from the arrows of your enemy. Be a rock of refuge for me, the psalmist cries in today's passage, as the people of God do time and again in the Old Testament. And then it's as if the singer, as he utters that plea, hears God's response. Because the singer then goes on after that cry with this great affirmation, you, O Lord, are indeed my rock and my fortress. Into your hands I commit my spirit. For you have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God, a rock. What a great metaphor for the God we worship, the God who's there for us as a constant, a foundation amidst the change. What a great picture of the God we can cling to and in whom we find security, a God who reminds us we are beloved when so many forces can threaten or shake that identity. I remember well one of the experiences some of us here have had with a large rock and how we could feel in our bodies the sense of stability a large rock can provide for you in scary times. One of the best things about being a pastor for 16 years now, yes, 16 years, I've been blessed to get to know so many young people from this church and see them grow and change, in some cases from the time they were 3 years old. In other cases, gotten to know them as high school juniors or seniors. It's one of the great gifts of being a pastor, seeing them baptized, declared, beloved in God's eyes, a child of God, and then seeing them grow and develop into that identity, molded and crafted by God. I got to be part of the sustainability team co-led by Janae. I got to go to birthday parties at Sade's home and have her over for playdates with Lucy. I got to attend branch events with William. I got to be interviewed on Zoom for a school project with Penn and learn about an exciting environmental effort he was up to. I got to go on all-church retreats and then all the way to India with Chloe. I got to see Nathan boldly walk into our sanctuary just this past year and then get connected with Josiah and our youth group, thanks be to God. And with Anna Grace, well, Lucy and I had the great delight of being part of a YMCA Dads and Daughters program led by her dad for years. Thank you, Rob, by the way. And what great trips we got to take. Here's a picture of some of us 6 years ago at Glamis near the Salton Sea, where we spent a weekend driving four-wheel ATV vehicles like that one in the desert. You'll see Amaya, Katarina Yee, Anna Grace, and Lucy, and then, of course, the dads behind them. 3 years before that, we went to Joshua Tree and had the great experience of rock climbing. You'll see Anna Grace and Lucy along with Parker Howard here. And here's a shot of Anna Grace and Lucy as they were preparing to ascend a large rock. And then I remember watching them both bravely climb up this rock and come back down and thought, how in the world did they do that? That looks terrifying. But then after a few minutes, I thought, okay, if these two can do it, maybe I can. Other dads were kind of pushing me, hey, Matt, you should give this a try. Okay, all right, I put on the harness, put on the helmet, and began to climb up the rock. And then I learned what Elvis leg is. Do you know what Elvis leg is? It's when you're climbing up and one of your legs starts to shake a whole lot. I got a major case of Elvis leg as I was climbing up that rock. And I wondered, I was thinking, all right, I guess I got to go back down now because I can't use this leg very well. Then I just paused there for a while, felt the firmness of the stone, you know, in my hands and my feet. And then my body began to slowly learn what my eyes had already seen, which was that the rope that was attached to the harness in which I was firmly held was nailed really strongly into a rock. And I was tethered to that line that was held by the rock, and there was an instructor below holding that line who I could absolutely trust in. I could not only feel the rock in my hands and feet, but my very body was wrapped up in a form of being tethered to that rock itself. You can see the hook right up above Lucy. That held me. And after a while, I started to feel it and say, hey, wait, I can climb this. I can even rappel down. And it started to be fun because it really is a wonderful experience to know and feel that you are held by a force, a powerful force, something as solid and sure and unshakable as that rock. What a powerful thing. As our seniors head out on their new adventures, as you ascend to some height to know there is security, identity, protection in something as solid and secure as stone, as rock, a big chunk of rock to which you are tethered. Today's scripture passage proclaims God is for us that rock. And as Christians, we believe this God not only drew near to the ancient people of God to free them from slavery and lead the Hebrew people through a wilderness, we believe God, our rock and redeemer, came near to all people, Jew and Gentile alike, to bring salvation in Jesus Christ. When Jesus spoke of the wise man who builds his house on a rock, not on shifting sand, but on the rock he was referring to was the rock of his teaching, the rock of discipleship, the rock of answering his call to relationship with him. In 1 Corinthians, we read of how just as the ancient people of God were given sustenance from a rock in the wilderness, so Christians today draw spiritual life from the rock that is Christ. By faith in Christ, we are tethered, tied, held by the source of all things. We know forgiveness of sins. We know what it means to be held in life and in death by our Maker, the author of creation, the one who made each one of us into the blessed creations, those in the image of God that we are. Graduates, I so wish for you, your church wishes for you, that you might know the security, the sense of self, who you are, the grounding, the stability you have in God and God's love for you in Christ. We wish that especially as you enter this new chapter of your life ahead. We wish not only for your great adventures that you'll ascend to new heights, but we pray that in the delights and disappointments, the joys and the sorrows, the sense of community and the experiences of loneliness, you will know. We pray that you will know too the immense strength you have, the power for resilience in the midst of adversity, the force that can shape you for love and justice in your faith. The Rock of Ages, the God we know in Christ, is there for you by the power of the Holy Spirit wherever you go, whatever happens to you or your world. God's care for you is like a harness holding you, tying you to that rock. May it keep you tied and tethered now and always. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.